Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix. White letters appear against blackness. To be a great champion, you must believe you are the best. If you're not, pretend you are. Muhammad Ali. The sun shines over tenement housing in the Bronx. A young man in a beanie walks down a sidewalk in the neighborhood.
Whoop, whoop. It's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop. The belly of the beast.
I was a street kid, beating niggas up, robbing people, stabbing people. I stole that carry gun.
These people in the streets don't fight no more. They shoot you.
He shadow boxes on a basketball court.
That was the path in the wrong direction.
I ain't now with the next superstar, boy.
The whole point of this sport is hit and not get hit. Don't take no unnecessary punishment. It's how long you can last and, you know, how smart you can be in this game.
At night, a tall, dreadlocked man jogs down a street.
You don't need to be angry to fight. Boxing to me is a tactical game. Everything I do is based off logic. It's, can I be smarter and manning up when it needs to be done? But there's so many variables in boxing that there's really no such thing as a right thing to do, just a bunch of wrongs.
Another man sits on a beach, his back caked in sand.
To express myself is through a fight.
I watch for your mistakes, try to beat you to the punch.
He does somersaults.
There's no formula to winning. It's a window I'm looking for. That window closes in 1 second.
Ocean waves crash onto the beach. A Netflix original documentary. Text appears, 2001 Bronx, New York. Webster Police Athletic League. A young man in headgear stands in the ring awaiting his fight. He practices some punches. Soon, as the narrator speaks, the young man battles his opponent.
My name is Jay Bolger, and boxing saved my life. I was just an angry kid getting into fights, headed in the wrong direction. Then, I walked into a boxing gym, connected with a trainer, and I found something to fight for. To become a New York City Golden Gloves champion. It was so simple and honest. Get up into that ring, and you're exposed. You find out what you're really made of.
His arm is raised in victory, and he celebrates. In modern-day New York, men disassemble a boxing ring.
Years later, I've set out to capture the state of boxing in America. Only to find that so many of the gyms I boxed at have closed their doors. Today, most kids would rather play basketball or football. Do anything but get in the ring. You can't play boxing. It's not a game. It's a test of how much you can hit without being hit. The brutality is inherent to both its appeal and to its demise. Now, there was a time in America when everybody loved boxing, when fighters like Dempsey, Lewis, Marciano, Ali, and Tyson were kings of the world.
The three men each prepare for a match.
So, for the American fighters who still believe in boxing, why do they do it? And what does it take to be champion? All I know is that there will always be the next kid who needs to fight their way out by stepping into the squared circle.
The title appears over the ropes of a boxing ring. Counterpunch. Traffic flows through the Bronx in the daytime. A man sells fruit beneath umbrellas. The young man in a beanie leans out his apartment window, pointing his phone at the ground below. Text appears. The prospect, Christopher Little B-Hop Colbert.
I don't know what I would have been doing if it wasn't for boxing. I think I would have been dead or some shit.
He dresses in a messy apartment.
I've been through shootouts. I've been through shelter home. My life was never easy. My life's still not easy until this day.
He leaves the apartment and steps outside.
Yeah. Shit is hard. Like, I don't let it stress me, though. I'm not one of them people that let that shit bother me. I take that and I use it as a motivation to push me to be better at what I do.
I'm gonna be the big champion of the world and take my family out of the hood and get them into a better place.
18-year-old Christopher Little B-Hop Colbert is the best amateur boxer in New York City. He rides the subway 2 hours every day to Flatbush, Brooklyn, so he can train at the very last free boxing gym in New York City, Atlas Cops and Kids.
Let's go.
I'm ready.
Inside the gym, young fighters gear up.
Welcome to Brooklyn.
What we do with the kids, it's crime prevention. The kids are in the gym, and they're off the streets, and they're staying in school. They'll all tell you that the program's changed their life.
Sergeant Pat Russo, Director of Atlas Cops and Kids.
It cost us about $50,000 to run one gym. A mere $50,000. What's $50,000? Well, it cost $67,000 to put one kid in jail for a year in this city.
He holds up a newspaper clipping.
Which is insanity.
Hey, baby, come on. Let's go.
These boxing gyms that created legends and boxing champions.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Boxing Hall of Famer.
Seems to no longer exist. I find it quite disturbing because boxing has given me so much. It's given me such a life. And if it wasn't for boxing, I'll be in jail or dead.
Sergeant Russo, Teddy Atlas, and the NYPD boxing team understand that every kid kept off the street is a kid who doesn't end up in trouble. And so when the Police Athletic League, the staple community boxing gyms, shut down their programs, they started Atlas Cops and Kids, which has quickly become one of the most successful boxing programs in the country.
Thank God for a program like that. It takes a lot of those kids off the streets.
Aureliana Sosa, head trainer.
Within 6 years, we built 8 national champions, 8 New York Golden Glove champions, and now we got a couple of pros, you know?
Amateur record, Little B-Hop.
I'm 116 fights, 113-3. I'm a 4-time national champion, a Golden Glove champion, ranked number one in the country. I'm not letting nobody beat me. One day, I'm going to turn pro. I'm destined to be world champion. I got to be a world champion.
B-Hop absolutely can become champion of the world. He's got a gift. He does. He's got something special about him. He has the potential. He has the talent. But it's going to be no cakewalk.
Little B-Hop collapses in the ring after a long sparring session. Later, he skips a rope in front of a mirror.
The name B-Hop, he came from the legend, Bernard Hopkins. He was like me, he came off the streets, straight off the streets, winning. He's the best, man, just like me, you know how I am.
Bernard Hopkins, former light heavyweight champion.
Biologically, he's not my son, because people was like, wait a minute, you got a son in Brooklyn? He's my son, but not of, you know what I mean, not of my son.
Little B-Hop throws hard rights at his trainer's pad.
Once he stepped in the ring and learned how to fight, he never had a fight in the street. 5-6 years, he never had a fight in the street. But before that, every other weekend, every other week, fight, fight, fight. Now he's good.
Little B-Hop and Sosa recline against the ring apron together.
Me and Sosa been rocking from since day one. He changed my life a lot, a lot. It's like he's like a father figure in my life.
He picks up a hat reading SCFL.
What's that?
Subtitles read, what's that? Sosa Crew for Life. Who made that? My dad.
My dad.
Sosa leans against the ropes, observing his fighters.
It's a little rewarding. I mean, because, you know, saying like I'm his dad. I mean, I'm making a difference, you know?
So you gotta pay. It's everything on you, so you gotta pay for me, Wayne.
What?
My girl, and then I'm gonna pay you back.
Your girl? Your girl makes more money than me.
Nah, you crazy.
Boxing got him off the streets, but I always tell him, you gotta be careful, man. A lot of bad stuff happened in front of his building, you know? But they don't care if you fight or not. Remember, a bullet is faster than your hands.
Little B-Hop strides down the sidewalk, jumbo headphones covering his ears. 5:58 a.m., Brooklyn, New York. Sosa steps outside wearing a jacket with National Grid on the back. He walks over to a minivan and climbs in.
Yeah, that's how my day starts, man. Get up at 5:30, get ready for work. Be work by 7, 7:10.
Start work at 8. We should be finished by 2. And then head out to the gyms.
He pulls away, his eyes on the road.
It's living the Mexican-American dream.
I don't know if you want to call it that, but, man, that's how hard work pays off. I mean, unfortunately, I didn't realize I was a coach until almost 10 years ago, you know? I wasted a lot of my time just doing nothing, just working, you know?
As the sun rises, the gate slides open beside a sign reading National Grid.
26 years of my life in this place. It is difficult to try to manage work and the kids. Yeah, I have like 30, 40 that compete. And to train 30, 40 kids, it's hard. It's hard. And if I could do boxing 24/7, I would do this 24/7.
He sticks a meter down a manhole.
But at this time, making $200 every 2 months, $300, can't do it, you know?
He loads a small case into the back of his van and unbuttons his shirt.
B-Hop, he's been getting better and better and better. And if B-Hop turns out the way we think he's gonna turn out, 4 years, I think I'll be out.
Back at Cops and Kids, Sosa steps inside the front door.
Time to get to work.
The gym is already bustling.
I won my last amateur tournament, so I was like, yeah, I'm gonna just go pro now. It's time to go. Waste no more time. He wanna go to the Olympics. I'm not destined to go to the Olympics.
When I first started, I always wanted to be an Olympic coach. Like, I wanna be up there when the Olympics. I wanna be one of the head coaches of the United States.
I don't care about the Olympics. That never was really my mindset to go to the Olympics. My mindset was always to be world champion and be rich, like Floyd Mayweather.
A huge banner hangs over a boxing ring, reading Atlanta 1996.
Boxing and gold medal and being Olympics is dead in America right now. Fighters, they look at Floyd Mayweather, they look how much money he's making. Why would I go on Olympics and get nothing but maybe some sponsorship from Nike and I can go right to the pros and buy me a Bugatti?
Floyd Mayweather, Olympic bronze medalist. George Foreman, Olympic gold medalist.
The Olympics used to be where USA beat the crap out of the world, where we prove we were the best boxers.
Cassius Clay, Sugar Ray Leonard.
Winning the gold medal, nothing surpasses that. I mean, there's people who can say I was a world champion in professional boxing, but to be an Olympic gold medal winner, very few people can say that. It's the biggest prize that I've ever experienced.
But in 2012, the U.S. men's boxing team, the team that's won more than any other country, didn't win a single medal.
The worst showing in history of the storied United States of America amateur boxing program.
In today's era of fighters, winning the gold and having the responsibility of representing your country.
Oscar De La Hoya.
It's not in their mind anymore. The passion is gone.
Olympic gold medalist.
So the question is, who has the ability and the desire to get USA men's boxing back on the podium? The answer is a lot more complicated than you might think.
Kansas City, Kansas. The dreadlocked man heads into a gym in the dead of night. The amateur, Cam F. Awesome.
I started boxing in about 2005. I was in the 11th grade, 12th grade, and I just did it for just to lose weight. Then I started fighting, and I just kept winning and winning and winning. I was like, maybe this isn't that hard.
Tyler, step in.
Cam F. Awesome is America's all-time winningest amateur boxer. And his trainer, John Brown, is the president of USA Boxing.
To box for America, you know, he gave up a lot. Because, unfortunately, the way our system is, we don't have much money for these guys. So now he has to live on $1,000 a month that the USOC gives him. And his fixed cost for his car, his rent, and the utilities is $900. So that gives him $100 a month to live on. I mean, I help him, but he goes to the blood bank about once every 2 weeks and get blood.
You do whatever you can for money. You pick up side jobs. You personal train people when you can, but it's pretty tough.
A lot of people don't understand why I haven't turned pro. My mission, my goal, my ambitions, it's not the money. I want that feeling of standing next to two dudes from other countries who have to sit there and look happy while they play my national anthem and I get a gold medal. That's what I'm chasing. That's the dream that I want.
Cam should have had a shot at realizing his dream in 2012. He qualified for the U.S. Olympic team, but then was suspended from competition when he failed to make himself available for drug tests.
I have to inform someone when I'm leaving town. And I didn't. And it wasn't because I was doing any drugs or anything. It's just I had so much going on in my life. I was getting ready for the Olympics. I was traveling. I was leaving the country. Although I tested negative that same week that they were going to drug test me, I needed to inform them, and I messed up. During my suspension, I learned a lot about myself. I learned a lot about the people around me. I decided to legally change my name and become a new person, new attitude, new way of life. February 16, 2013, Lenroy Cameron Thompson Jr. died. And then arose Cam F. Awesome.
Cam somersaults over the top rope and into the ring. With his new name, Cam F. Awesome is giving the Olympics one last shot. The road begins here in Tennessee at the first Olympic Trials qualifier. Chattanooga, Tennessee, day one U.S. Olympic Trials qualifier, 606 days before the 2016 Olympics. Cam boxes his opponent, ducking and weaving the other man's blows. He throws hard lefts to the gut. The men separate and Cam grins broadly, flexing his shoulders. Clarissa Shields, 2012 Olympic gold medalist.
This guy is, to me, he boxed crazy. Crazy, but he wins. And everybody be so mad and upset, but it's like, Cam F. Awesome, what do you expect?
Chris Bird, former heavyweight champion.
People are like, what is he doing? That's ugly, that what? They don't understand the kind of style, but the boxers he's fighting, they understand it.
Cam's opponent throws his hand up in frustration.
All right, our winner out of the blue corner, Cam Awesome.
Cam F. Awesome wins 311, losses 24. Cam F. Awesome got his first win tonight. He'll have to fight three more times over the next 3 days to earn a spot at the Olympic trials a year from now in Reno, Nevada. As if it wasn't difficult enough, this road to the Olympics will be more dangerous than ever. For the first time in 32 years, Olympic competition is taking place without headgear.
They want to give you the pro atmosphere, right? But the amateur benefits.
Tom Legan, boxing coach.
You know, we've been told that safety of the boxer is the primary concern. There's a bit of a conflict with the no headgear, because obviously this wouldn't have happened without it.
There are two clear distinctions between amateur and professional boxing: headgear and fighting for prize money. Now, IEBA, the famously corrupt International Boxing Association, want to make the sport more entertaining. But here's the thing. If one of these fighters gets a bad cut, even from something like an accidental headbutt, they're out.
It's dangerous and it's stupid. It's not setting you up for the pros, it's fucking you up for the pros. You're losing a couple of brain cells before you even turn pro.
If I didn't have a headgear and I was getting cut and beat up and bruised up and knocked out, I would turn pro. I mean, might as well get paid for it.
You know, even pros don't fight 5 days in a row. Maybe the best guy doesn't win all the time. Whoever the luckiest wins, that doesn't get hit by me. You know, a guy can't box 5 days in a row without headgear, without getting banged up. It's impossible.
A young fighter receives gauze beneath his eyebrow as an open cut drips blood down his cheek. Chattanooga, Tennessee, day five, U.S. Olympic Trials qualifier. Cam smiles.
Cam F. Awesome. He's the only male we've got that has a shot at winning the Olympics, winning a medal at the Olympics. He's the guy. And the problem is, the rest of the world is way ahead of us. You know, the rest of the world, amateur boxers make a living boxing. Ours don't.
Mike Martino, USA Boxing.
In 2016, you're going to see the true amateur that we develop here in the United States, and we've done since, you know, the early 1900s for the Olympics. You're going to see them competing against pros. And so that's going to be a big challenge for our athletes.
Mirko Wolf, Managing Director, AIBA.
We have the impression, like everywhere in the world, we have the impression that USA is the number one nation and everything. Like, you like the big brother.
So
yeah,
athletes.
Yeah. Like, you take care of it. Like, you you just know what you're doing. And you come here and you see the level of competition, and it's like, if you send those kids against Russia, man, it's going to be sad for you.
At the Rio Summer Games, our fighters will be competing with pros without headgear. USA Boxing is awarded funding from the USOC based on their medal count. At this point, they can boycott the Olympics in protest or continue to send our amateur fighters and hope for the best.
The good boxers have to turn pro because they need money. So we won't get medals until we get funding.
Okay, this is it. I'll eat in the house, right? Thank you.
Yeah, we won't get funding until we get medals. So we're chasing our tail. If I can bring back home a medal, I can change that.
Round one, Cam squares off against his next opponent. Cam wears blue while the opponent wears red. The red shirt reads Georgia. Cam stays on the offensive, slugging the Georgian with low hooks and uppercuts. The opponent covers up, bending at the waist. The fighters go to their corners.
I think he's heart broke already. Okay, let's keep that show going. I like that Ali kid.
Round two.
Tyson going on.
Cam lands a ferocious uppercut on the bent-over Georgian. He connects on a combo, left hook to right uppercut. The Georgian takes a paltry swing. Cam tags him with successive uppercuts between the gloves as the Georgian tries to cover his face. The referee steps in, calling the fight. Cam flexes his shoulders. He points at the camera and grins.
Good call.
The ref waves his arm, stopping the fight. Cam pumps his fist and bows to the audience. Wins 314, losses 24. The ref raises Cam's arm. Cam puts on a cape with his name on the back and jogs around the ring.
It's Cam's 12th national tournament championship, and it qualifies him for the U.S. Olympic trials a year from now. If he wins that, he'll go on to fight the best fighters in North and South America. And if he places in the top three, he'll earn a spot at the Olympic Games. All in hopes of becoming the super heavyweight gold medalist.
Cam rides an elevator with his title belt slung across his shoulder. He wears a Letterman's jacket.
All right, see you guys again soon.
Cam climbs into his rental car, the title belt in the trunk. Now an image of a vintage boxing video game plays. A huge boxer sprite approaches a much smaller one.
I grew up playing Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, a game inspired by the baddest man on the planet, one of the most famous athletes in the world. But as we began filming, we hadn't had an American heavyweight champion in over a decade.
Steve Kim, boxing writer.
People always say, Steve, where are the great heavyweights? I said, they're on the football gridiron or they're posting up in the paint. And there used to be a saying years ago, as the heavyweight division goes, so goes the game of boxing.
Tyson knocks out an opponent.
We're a long way from the Mike Tyson heavyweight knockout era and the popularity that came with it. But for the last decade, Floyd Money Mayweather has been the face of boxing. The master counterpuncher changed the game as he mitigates risk and maximizes profits, putting his undefeated record on the line when the money's right.
Times change. It's the Mayweather era now. It's not the Mike Tyson's Punch-Out era. It's not the Ali era. It's not the Joe Louis era or the Rocky Marciano era. Things change and the eras move on along.
Mike Woods, NewYorkFights.com.
So Floyd Mayweather will tell you that he is the best ever. I made more money than anyone else in all of sports. And I'll say to that, I don't really give a fuck. I don't really give a shit. That doesn't make you TBE the best ever. So is he the perfect athlete for this new age of narcissism? And if he is everyone gonna follow his lead, be the boxing businessman and say, I pick who I wanna fight? These guys enter into this, remember, to prove something to themselves and to everyone else. And that's their legacy. And what will his legacy be?
With Mayweather's undefeated career coming to a close, who will take his place as the next American boxing superstar?
All right, fans, here we go. 12 rounds of boxing for the WBO Middleweight Championship of the World. Introducing Peter Kid Chocolate Quillen.
As a kid, I used to dream about the title. Or big fights or big money and stuff, you know?
I had a sense of hope. I was gonna be able to like see something better.
Do you want this title? Do you want this title? All right, show me you want this title.
Peter Quinn, Kid Chuck, is one of the hottest fighters in the business at this time.
Sam Watson, Heyman Boxing.
I did everything in my power to try to make this work. Got to where I wanted to be. I set a goal for myself, being a champion.
And the new WBO middleweight champion of the world, Peter Kid Chocolate Gwillin.
Peter weeps in the ring with his new belt.
I want to thank Grand Rapids, Michigan for making me a fighter and New York City making me a man. I hope through this, I inspire people that hard work can get you anywhere in life.
Grand Rapids, Michigan. Peter walks through an unfinished house.
Boxing ring is pretty good to me. This is a property that I bought. House is shitty right now, but I own it.
He walks through the rooms.
Now I'm inspired to own as many cribs as I can, as possible.
He points at a wall.
I want a new door. Yeah, let's get a new door.
When I was younger, we grew up in a house that my dad owned to like having that house taken away from us when my dad did his time in prison. That's the way I grew up.
Pappy Jordan, Peter's father.
Like I give him money, I give my mom money. My little brother get money.
There's a lot of people that take care of him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But he think I take care of my friends more than I look up for them. No, because I can't.
I know.
Can you send an email out for somebody? Can you send an email?
I don't know.
All right, now that's what I'm trying to say. It's like so he want me to do more for him. But he don't know what he's not able to do. So I just let him be my dad and get a little bit of bread. If you want to help me flip the cribs, I want it done the way I'm the boss, not him.
Yeah, but...
It's my house.
Yeah,
but... I'm the boss.
Peter reclines in bed.
I'm making life-changing money for myself to be able to secure, like, my family. Jobs for people that help me try to increase my capital by making sure that I won't retire broke.
Peter Kid Chocolate Quillen grew up here in Grand Rapids, Michigan, just two doors down from Floyd Mayweather's family. Currently, their street has a combined record of 78 wins and zero losses. Deborah Quillen.
He never gave up. He could have turned out another way. Peter was really a troublemaker. I mean, he gets suspended in school because he's always fighting. So, well, you know, I said, he needs to be in the gym.
Peter stands in a Golden Gloves gym.
Because I used to get Peter's ass, too, so I think I had a big part in that because from him weaving and dodging and ducking from me and running and I'm getting out of breath, man, that boy was something.
He poses with young fighters.
One, two, three.
At an elementary school.
Who knows what the C in champ stands for?
Confidence.
What does the H stand for?
Power.
What does the A stand for? What does the M stand for?
Motivation.
Now, y'all don't sound motivated. What?
Motivation.
And what does the P stand for?
Motivation.
Okay, you take those words, I promise you, you can very, very much be successful.
Against all odds, Kid Chocolate made it out of Grand Rapids, reaching the pinnacle of the sport as he won the middleweight championship of the world. But then, he just gave it up. Tommy Gallagher.
What happened to his belt? Why isn't he the champ anymore? Do you know?
Who knows? Those things happen. Real fighters win, lose their belts, get them back.
He's undefeated, though.
Then something must have happened. I think he went to the monastery for a while.
Gallagher grins. Elsewhere, a sign reads Santa Monica Pier, North Entrance, Santa Monica, California. Peter wades in shallow water by the beach.
Peter Quillen announced that he would be vacating his title. I'm sure you
Quillen's
guys heard.
Allegedly going to make $1.4 million, so I don't understand what his motives are.
Peter Quillen, a lot of people want questions answered.
He joins his dad on the beach. Kid Chocolate wasn't defeated. He wasn't injured. His decision left the boxing world in a state of confusion. After all, wasn't becoming a champion what boxers dream about? What could possibly compel someone to give up their championship title they fought so hard for?
I'd like to thank Al Heyman.
Thank you, Al Heyman.
Al Heyman.
Al Heyman.
Al Heyman didn't want him to fight the fight. He didn't want him to fight my guy Khorabov. So what he did was,
He just paid the guy not to fight, literally paid him not to fight, and promised him another fight if he didn't fight this fight. Paid him $500,000 because he didn't want to take a chance on losing.
Cameron Duncan, boxing manager. Steve Kim.
Basically, he is like the puppet master. Think of the Wizard of Oz. He's that guy behind the curtain, and he's just pushing all the buttons and levers.
I've heard the name Al Haymon, but I've never seen him. He's like the opposite of Don King. He doesn't do interviews. He's just lurking behind the scenes. And with unprecedented paydays, he's earned his fighter's loyalty.
Mayweather sits with Haymon at a match. Floyd Money Mayweather, Al Haymon client. Peter drives to a pool.
When I have my son, my kid, Al Haymon said, if you want to fight for this belt, we can make that happen. Or you cannot fight for the belt and get what you say you want, which is time with your family, which I would say you don't get that time back.
Peter holds his baby overhead and leans back.
Are you cold? Are you cold? Are you cold?
So I took some time off. If you want to say that advice is bad for somebody, then people can say what they want, but I feel like I made the right decision for me.
Peter jogs through Santa Monica at night.
He gave up the belt because he was told to. These guys ain't their own boss. Well, I made 20 defenses, so I don't believe in giving up belts.
If you ask me, would I give up my belt, I would say no. I worked too hard, I sacrificed too much. That belt will still be with me.
The fighters are not fighting for the glory, for the honor, for the respect. It's all about the business. I mean, who in their right mind gives up a championship title because they don't want to face the best in their division? That's just unheard of. In my era, you just don't do that.
You see people shitting on Peter Quillin saying, he ain't a fucking warrior. He don't want to fight the best. And Peter Quillin can answer you and say, I'm listening to my trusted advisor, Al Haymon. It's going to be pretty good for me.
It's about money. It's about making a living so you can take care of your family.
A subtitle, Fuck the Glory.
Huh? Glory's bullshit. You can go in your bathroom and have glory. Close the door and tell everybody who you are.
Peter sits in a gym.
You think the easiest route to do in life, like between being a boxer and then going to college, which one would you choose?
I mean, in boxing, when you turn pro, if you got the right people around you, you can make money in a heartbeat. You know what I mean?
Sam Watson, Haymon Boxing.
Peter Quillin is one of the luckiest, blessed, talented fighters we have. He listens to Al Haymon. They talk. They always make sense on what they're doing, when they're going to fight, who they're going to fight. And that's great.
Unlike other professional sports, boxing doesn't have a single controlling organization, which is exactly what Al Haymon is after with his Premier Boxing Champions League. With $500 million of venture capital, he has the sport back on primetime for the first time in over three decades. And he's signing a lot of the best fighters. But Haymon rarely does business with competing promoters and their fighters. And in boxing, the best all too often don't fight the best.
You know, there's a lot of money being thrown around. Can you imagine $500,000 to not fight, my guy, to not fight?
I want to set myself up for life. So I'm going to go out there and train like I'm trying to win. Like my life is dependent on it and my son's life is dependent on it.
Peter boards a subway train and sits down. A train passes the Brooklyn Bridge. On a city corner, dirty text reads Brooklyn, New York. Several youngsters stand in the middle of the street shadow boxing. They duck, dodge, and throw punches. One boy uppercuts rapidly. A shirtless young man circles throwing rapid jabs.
Kids, baby.
Little B-Hop signs a contract, Sosa over his shoulder.
You shouldn't be surprised to hear when Little B-Hop signs his first pro contract. It's with Al Haymon.
Signing with Al Haymon. Ain't nothing better than that.
Why is that?
There's nobody that's going to get you to the top where you need to be and make the right money that you're supposed to be making, but Al.
He drops the pen.
Dan, congrats. Hard work pays off. You know what I mean?
I'm going to show this world that the new superstar is on his way.
Gary Stark Jr., professional boxer.
Al's the best in business. He has the best fighters now. You fight with him, you find the best shows. He's the man.
Little B-Hop and Sosa enter a huge arena as a crew sets up lighting.
Jay, you're getting a glimpse of the future, Jay. A glimpse of the future. The Sosa crew will be taking over soon.
Little B-Hop sways his head.
And this is what people think is all about, the money. I mean, the money gonna come regardless. Like, right now, I'll fight for $100 if I had to. No problem. To build my record, build my resume, let a lot of people see who I am. I'm in this to make history.
A guy like him supposed to be right now in some institution. Think about it. He had no good start to be successful.
Little B-Hop and Peter meet and hug.
You know what it is, right? I'm gonna tell you something. God give grace to humble people. Remember that. This is gonna be your spotlight right now. When it's your time, it's your time.
Little B-Hop walks onto a stage.
Tell you how good he may be someday. His nickname is Little B-Hop. Chris Colbert.
Little B-Hop waves, then spars with Sosa in a ring.
Al Haymon is spending money hand over fist, and great. The fighters are getting paid like drunken sailors want to be paid. But are the right fights being made? Are the fans happy? They're the ones that have to congregate to lift this sport up.
Little B-Hop poses for a photo wearing his gloves.
If you want to do things the right way, you always have to get the right opponents. And the right opponents sometimes are not the best opponents, you know what I mean? But that's how you build them up.
Marquise Pierce, professional record wins 1, losses 5.
This is the first time he's ever going to go 4 rounds, and I don't think he's ready for this shit. He's not even fighting for the same cause that I'm fighting for. You want to be famous and some superstar athlete, I'm fighting for my life. I'm fighting to make sure food get put on my fucking table and shit.
Little B-Hop and Pierce pose at the weigh-in.
As I'm standing there, you know, he's up in my face, you know, trying to talk down to me. He's, oh man, it's going to be an easy win and I'm not worried about nothing. Dude, you're 18 years old, bro. Your balls barely dropped, my man.
Cam sits beside a ring.
Professional boxing, it's all about perception. This pro boxer's 25-0, but if you look at the 25 fighters he fought, they're literally nobodies. They're guys with 1-7 records and guys who've never boxed before, guys making their debut, and they build someone's record to make them look like a great undefeated boxer.
Little B-Hop flexes on the scale.
Yeah, undefeated is so important. In boxing, the second you lose, everybody's off of you.
Kathy Duva, boxing promoter.
We've come to a world now where winning is all that matters. And as long as there are fighters out there who think that they need to have an undefeated record to be relevant, I think they're very misguided.
I contribute that to Mayweather. That's the Mayweather effect. Thinking about business. And thinking about the fight second.
An airplane touches down. The sign reads, "Welcome to fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada."
After years of anticipation, negotiation, and hype, here in Las Vegas, on the first Saturday of May, Floyd Money Mayweather remains undefeated, earning an estimated $300 million in one night as he defeats Manny Pacquiao in the fight of the century. But I'm across town at a place I always dreamed of reaching, the National Golden Gloves Championships.
Jim Beasley, Executive Director, Golden Gloves of America.
Golden Gloves, which started clear back in the 1920s, and throughout the history, most everybody has been in the Golden Gloves. And many of our successful champions like Sugar Ray Leonard or Evander Holyfield or Mike Tyson, they're all those kind of people, Oscar De La Hoya, you can name them all. They were Golden Glove champs. And so this is the beginning for the next breed of champions.
Day 1, 2015 Golden Gloves Tournament. Two fights occur simultaneously in adjacent rings. Families watch their sons fight.
Win the Golden Gloves was huge, but then you win the national. Golden Gloves, forget about it. It was everything. Ask any boxer.
Cam packs a bag.
All right, so what's the plan tonight, champ? Right.
Pack it up. Shoes, socks, shorts, cup, shirt, headgear. Mouthpiece check. Got all the stuff tonight. Fighting a dude from South Carolina, I believe. Don't know who he is. Don't know what he looks like. Well, I'm sure he's a really nice guy. So let's go break his dreams.
Cam exits the hotel room. Another match takes place and the intimate crowd cheers.
The Golden Gloves is one of the few things that has stayed constant in amateur boxing.
It has nothing to do with the Olympics, but it is the most prestigious tournament in the country.
Gold Glove National Tournament gets you no ranking points, it gets you no international competition, gets you nothing. But there's it holds weight. It holds weight in the world with people. They like Gold Glove champions. This tournament, it's a big deal.
I'm going to be taking it very seriously. I'm fighting every fight like it's a gold medal fight in the Olympics this week.
Cam enters the ring, headgear and gloves on. His match begins. His opponent wears all orange. Cam is quickly on the offensive, chasing his opponent and landing solid shots to the head. The fighters separate, and Cam throws an uppercut. Cam gets his opponent into a corner and pummels him as the round comes to an end.
Coach, how do you do?
Excellent. Perfect first fight. For all these other monsters, I saw about 7 monsters out there. These are getting bigger every goddamn year. What happened with real heavyweights like Joe Lewis, 202 pounds, and Joe Frazier, 204, and Big Joy Foreman, 220. Ali, 217.
We have a winner, boxing Ali, the new corner, Cam Awesome.
Cam F. Awesome wins 316, losses 26.
Yo, Awesome.
Yo, yo.
How did that go?
It went pretty well. My plan was just to land some jabs every so often, throw an overhand left to land for get some respect. Figured I can win the fight with no real risk of exchanging punches with him.
An elderly couple passes.
Good job, Cam.
Thank you.
Good job. Good job.
Bye, guys.
Thank you, young lady.
Bye. We'll see you at the crap table.
138 people eliminated on day one. But Cam F. Awesome advances, needing 3 more victories to earn his 4th National Golden Gloves Championship. And maybe even the Golden Boy Award, given to the best overall fighter in the tournament.
Day 2, 2015 National Golden Gloves Tournament. Young fighter shadowbox in the driveway of a hotel's front entrance.
Weighs.
I think I'm over 200 pounds.
Cam weighs in shirtless. Other fighters in their underwear do the same.
For years, Cam F. Awesome has dominated the amateur super heavyweight division. But here in Vegas, he's got competition. Darmani Rock from North Philadelphia is 19 years old, and he's also qualified for the Olympic trials. At 260 pounds, people are talking about him like he's the next great American heavyweight champion.
Rock knocks out his opponent. Cam and John observe.
How's he doing?
He's got a nice little right uppercut.
Yeah, I'm moving to my right. I mean,
he kind of sucks me in.
The referee raises Rock's arm in victory. Cam gears up.
Everybody thinks they can beat Cam because he's a little awkward and different.
Right.
And they don't see the traditional boxer, so they think, oh boy, I could probably beat him. And then they find out it ain't what it looks like. So I suspect it's going to be fun.
Cam's wins tick up from 316 to 318. The referee raises his arm. Championship Day Golden Gloves Tournament.
4 days later, sure enough, Cam and Darmani find themselves in the championship bout to determine who is the best super heavyweight in the country.
I don't get sucked into all the hype of who I'm fighting. I haven't lost a single round this tournament. I'm going for the Golden Boy.
It's a pretty unique opportunity for both these young men. When you have a multi-day tournament, so much can happen. You know, you can get an injury. They could have met in the draw, and they could have met in the preliminaries. So it's great for the boxing fans, it's great for the storyline, and it's only going to elevate their fight game.
Cam and Rock enter the ring.
This will be our last bout. 2 warriors at 201 pounds plus. Boxing out of the red corner, Cam Awesome.
Cam waves and bows to the audience. Round 1. Cam and Rock charge to the center of the ring. Cam opens with a wide left hook that Rock blocks with his arm. Rock tags Cam with a left jab to the chin. Rock switches stance and evades a pair of jabs by Cam. Rock throws an overhand right and beckons Cam to come forward. Round 2. Cam and Rock bounce apart, testing their reaches. Rock connects with a combination with a left jab right hook combination that sends Cam stumbling backwards. The ref steps between them.
Do some painting and then boom, come in.
Boom, come in.
Round three. The ref points the two men to the center of the ring. Rock clubs Cam in the side of the head, dropping him to a knee. He continues to strike at the down Cam. Cam gets up quickly and the ref checks on him. The fight resumes and Rock swipes Cam to the floor. Cam gets up again and Rock steps back. Cam presses, throwing a pair of jabs. Cam lunges and Rock catches him off balance, sending him to the canvas again. The referee separates them. The round ends and the ref steps between the fighters. Rock pats Cam on the back. Cam's team removes his headgear and he breathes heavily.
Let's hear about the 2015 National Golden Gloves Champion. It's a 201-pound plus. He happens to be boxing out of the blue.
Referee raises Rock's arm. Cam's losses tick up from 26 to 27. Rock grins and flexes his biceps, hugging the lady. Cam returns for a quick hug with Rock, then exits the ring. In his hotel room, Cam undresses.
I regret walking out of the ring like that, but I fucking wanted the Golden Boy Award. God, I never fucking get it. I've won fucking 12 national championships for this goddamn country, and not once have they given me fight of the tournament. Statistically, I'm supposed to get it one out of every 10 times. I fucking won it 12. This is my sixth time in the Golden Glove Finals. And, sixth time in the fucking Golden Glove Finals, and, I'm going 50 for 50. It's disgusting. Fucking.
Cam puts on a tank top and flip-flops and heads outside. He walks down an empty Las Vegas sidewalk in the night. Before him, the unique edifices of Las Vegas gleam in the dark. Back in New York, the Statue of Liberty stands tall in the sunshine. A barbershop facade reads, Good News Barbershop, Brooklyn, New York. Inside, a man gets his beard trimmed. Boxing gloves styled to resemble the Puerto Rican flag hang from a wall. Little B-Hop gets a silhouette of the Brooklyn skyline shaved into the back of his head.
I already see it in my head. First round, I'm just going to make Slam chase me. Second round, B-Hop. I'm going to just start fucking him up, taking it to him. Every time I hit him, got him, I'm going to tell him that. Got him. I'm like, little bitch, I'm going to fucking him up. And after the fight, after I knock his ass out, stop him or beat the shit out of him, either one, I'm be like, yo, good shit, bro. I'm proud of you.
After the fight, it's all love.
I ain't got no hate on him. I don't hate him. He just got to get his ass up. I don't know why he signed that contract like a dickhead.
Don't take it personal. It's business, bro. Sorry. Hope you're a fan after.
See you tomorrow.
Good, man. Good luck, bro.
Later, baby.
Little B-Hop exits the barbershop. Now it's nighttime in Brooklyn. The arena is lit. Little B-Hop's pro debut. Dorothea Perry, New York State Athletic Commission. She sits with Little B-Hop backstage.
Everything you can do is get the diploma, okay?
I am. I'm not trying. I'm going to get it. But people keep stressing me about school. I'm going to stop going.
You're not going to stop.
Who, me? I done stopped going before, and then I just went back.
Don't do that. It just make you have to keep starting over. Bang it out.
Soon I'm going to get tired of it and not go back.
Just bang it out. Get rid of it. You know what I mean? And you never have to go back again.
Never.
And then you'll start thinking about college, right?
You can hear me?
Right?
Huh? Say that again.
And then you'll start thinking about college, right? College is easier than high school.
Little B-Hop wears headphones and shuts his eyes. The trainer tapes his wrists. He bounces his knee up and down and rolls his neck. B-Hop's fists are fully taped and ready for the gloves. He grins.
I'm ready, man. I just want to get this shit over with.
He hits the pads with Sosa backstage.
Let's go. Let's walk, guys.
B-Hop wears a t-shirt bearing his name and a bandana across his nose and mouth. Beneath the bright lights, he approaches the ring. He taps his chest and kisses his glove before climbing the steps. At the ring ropes, he ducks in and out quickly before climbing into the ring. He hops up and down.
Everybody believes he's talented. Only thing that's stopping him is his age in the fights. And that's something that comes with time.
Pierce snarls at B-Hop, round one. The two fighters prance to the center of the ring and square off. Pierce wears solid red trunks with a white stripe. B-Hop wears black and white trunks in a zebra pattern. The fight begins conservatively, both boxers keeping their distance. Pierce swings with a heavy overhand right but misses. B-Hop dances out of a corner and hits a combination. B-Hop misses a right jab. Pierce corners him again, but he ducks and sweeps back to the center, cornering Pierce. B-Hop lands an overhand right to Pierce's temple. Pierce staggers and collapses to his hands and knees. He gets to his feet and the ref walks him to his corner, counting. The ref grabs his gloves and shakes them. B-Hop heads for his corner and Sosa greets him. Round two. The fighters square off in the center of the ring, dropping their shoulders and changing angles, but neither throwing a decisive blow. Pierce comes over the top and B-Hop covers up. B-Hop lands a left uppercut. B-Hop connects with a heavy overhand right, sending Pierce flying into the ropes. The referee grabs Pierce and waves his arm, ending the fight. Paulie Malignaggi, former welterweight champion.
You win in impressive fashion. The bums will be less bums. Maybe they'll go from 2 tomato can level to 1 tomato can level to, you know, half journeyman level. The motivation is to whirl through these guys, dismantle them in every way possible so that people step you up the ladder until you reach the guys you have your eye on.
Wins one, losses zero.
It feels good to be in the pros now. I always knew that I was going to be something great in my life. Like if it was either football, basketball, it don't matter what it was, I always knew I was going to do something great.
Little B looked phenomenal. Got in the ring, his pro debut, no jitters. The haircut took longer than the fight. It's going to sound crazy what I'm about to say, but he reminds me of Floyd Mayweather. He reminds me of Floyd. A young Floyd Mayweather.
Ellie Sackback, boxing commentator.
One, baby, one.
In the beginning of your career, you always have that little hill you got to get over. I didn't get over that hill yet. I'm still standing on top of it. I feel like I'm the man. And when it's time to really step things up, that's what's going to happen. I'm gonna go over that hill and do what I got to do, climb the next mountain.
4 more years, I'll be a champion of the world. And that's a promise. Yeah. 4 more years. Yeah, 4 more years.
A big dog barks beside a tiny dog. Wild Card West, Santa Monica, California. Peter sits on a ring apron in a gym.
What they say about a fighter when he's like, he got all the talent, but he ain't in shape.
You lazy motherfucker.
And they say hard work, puppy. Like, hard work always beats talent. When
Talent can only take you so far.
Right. But what if you talented and hard working,
huh?
But if you talented and you're
destined for greatness.
After a year of inactivity, Al Haymon is putting Kid Chocolate back in the ring against Andy Lee, an Irish fighter who just so happens to have won that same WBO middleweight championship belt that Kid Chocolate gave up.
I took a year off. People would never thought I could fight for a belt right away in my next fight after giving it, vacating the same belt. And now I get to go in there as a challenger for even more money for the same belt.
Al Haymon is happy. He showed loyalty by giving the belt up. Al Haymon gets some next fight, close to the same amount of money, blah, 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 blah. He promised him he had to fulfill the promise or whatever it is. Bam, you're back to square one.
So what is the significance of these belts? And do they still define a champion? In boxing's heyday, there were only 8 weight classes, each with one undisputed champion. But then came the sanctioning bodies, organizations that created their own championship belts and receive sanctioning fees from the fighters wearing them. Now, there are 17 weight classes, each with an upwards of 4 different champions. The values of all those belts have dwindled, making an undefeated record, that purest proof of dominance, more important than ever.
You have uppercut? Yeah, but throw that uppercut. Throw it right here. It don't matter if you land it or not. The thing is to make him react to it. Okay.
Eric Brown, Peter's trainer.
The belt doesn't make the fighter. The fighter makes the belt. He'll have more belts than as time goes on. We're going to get a belt on April 11th. Once we get that belt, we'll get a couple more belts.
He's
got a strategy of weaving. You know, he'd move around and dodge and come in and squeeze under there and move back and forth. And, you know, he's going to do what he's got to do. He's going to come out courageous. He's still going to be what he is, and he's going to be the champion. He's going to get his belt back.
Peter Berg, owner of Wild Card West Boxing Studio.
Peter Quinn had a reputation of being just one of the meanest men in the ring. Now he's on the cusp of real greatness, but he hasn't really hit it yet. And the only person that can change that, and the only person that can fix that, is Peter Quinlan.
Peter sweats profusely in the ring.
There's some sprints on the beach today, not that people complaints about that.
I understand, but I'm gonna remind you of my rule.
Okay.
Sparring days, what do we do?
We put it all over here.
So we run
after. But
not before.
I don't have the time.
No, I understand, but
so I have to work through it.
I can't let you live. I need your legs.
Okay. My whole camera last time, that's what I was doing.
Yeah?
Yeah, so I'm okay doing that. Just like you got that, hit that wall, this is when I do. I did 8 rounds all day. We today.
Knock that motherfucker down.
Peter takes stiff shots at a heavy bag. Now, lighter jabs.
With 1 year of inactivity, it's extremely difficult being who you were because you become civilized. It's hard to come back to work, and there are no shortcuts. Boxing is beyond work. It's war.
Peter exits the gym, squinting, sweaty, and dirty.
Damn. I felt it. I think that was bad luck letting y'all film today, motherfuckers.
No, you did great.
I did great, you hear me? Look, I got a busted lip. I don't feel good.
He walks forward silently.
You're tired already when you came in, though. You had a long day, right?
Yeah. I mean, every other day was a long day.
He wipes his face down with a towel. Brooklyn, New York, 3 weeks later, Peter exits a hotel wearing a zebra print bathrobe. Inside the same arena as Little B-Hop's fight, weigh-in, Quillen versus Lee.
Ladies and gentlemen, stepping to the scales, Peter Kid Chocolate Quillen. 161.4, 161.4 pounds for Peter Kid Chocolate Quillen. Peter Quillen will have 2 hours to lose 1.4 pounds.
Peter nods.
It's a title fight tomorrow night. Trying to get to a weight of 160.
Kids I had. Used to take 10, 12 pounds off in 2 days. What the fuck is 2 pounds? What are we talking about?
Peter jogs on a treadmill in a plastic raincoat.
I think when you accept the fight, you have to make the weight. You know, you get a little bit civilized as you sit back on your money and enjoy life, and suddenly the months pass and you haven't fought. But if a belt was that important, you probably would have made the weight no matter how much you suffered.
It's one of boxing's craziest rituals. Fighters virtually starve themselves and sweat out pounds to make weight the day before a fight. Kid Chocolate gets down to 160.5 pounds, failing to make the 160-pound middleweight limit.
According to any of the belt rules, you have to make weight in order to fight for the belt. You can't be 1 ounce, 1/4 of an ounce over. You have to be on weight or under. So this fight now went from being a title fight to being a non-title bout.
Red Bow's Peter's conditioning coach.
They don't take the Super Bowl trophy as a joke. They don't take the NBA trophy at the end of the championship as a joke. Like Quillen did, you live and die with those decisions.
I mean, I'm 31-0. That record got me to that title. It got me to the title, you know what I'm saying? And then for me to not lose sight of that, let me know that I appreciate the work I did. I mean, trying less to your best is never good enough. I will feel bad about myself if I didn't give it my all, but I know I gave it my all.
On the night of the fight, Little B-Hop stands in the crowd. Peter approaches the ring.
Introducing first, the red corner. As a professional, he stands undefeated. 31 victories, 22 by knockout with no defeats. Introducing Peter, Kid Chocolate Quillen. And across the ring, his opponent tonight, and he...
Peter hops around the ring, his expression blank. Andy Lee approaches with a trainer holding the Irish flag behind him. The two men meet in the center of the ring and retreat to their corners. Round one. The fighters approach. Peter keeps his hands up, alert. He strikes first, tagging Lee with a right jab on the chin and ducking a return cross. Peter traps Lee in a corner. He swings a massive right hook into Lee's nose and drops the Irishman to the canvas. Lee staggers to his feet as the referee counts in his face. Peter waits in his corner. The fight resumes and Peter steps to the center of the ring. He backs Lee into a corner again and lands a swift combination, dropping Lee to his knees. Lee regains his feet quickly and Peter retreats. Round two. The two men trade haymakers in a corner. Several consecutive punches land on Lee's chin and he buckles. They square off again. Round three. Peter lands a flurry on Lee. He hits a right hook to Lee's temple and the lanky Irishman falls for a third time. The referee points Peter back to his corner as Lee stands up. Round seven. Lee sneaks in a right jab to Peter's chin. Peter drops to his knees and Lee steps away, holding his fist in the air. Peter stands quickly and heads back to his corner for the count. Round 12. Peter ducks one jab, dodges a hook, and lands a crisp uppercut. As the final bell sounds, Peter is on the attack, raining down overhand rights and lefts. The two men separate, then hug as the match ends.
Ladies and gentlemen, having gone to the distance inside, the ring will go to your official judges' scorecards.
If a fight goes the full 12-round distance, the outcome is determined by three judges. The advantage to knocking out your opponent is that you keep it out of their hands. They all see it from a different angle.
Your third and final judge at ringside scores the fight 113 to 113. He has it even. The fight is declared a split draw.
Peter Kid Chocolate Quillen wins 31, losses 0, draw 1.
What happened?
That's no draw. No draw there. I'll tell you that. This is the problem with boxing right here.
Kid, y'all can beat him fair and square, knock him down three times, beat his ass good. But my boy was strong, he was tough, and he was a tough guy. It's a great fight.
Peter speaks to a throng of reporters.
This was just a chess match. This wasn't checkers, this was chess. You know, with the year off, you know, I never like to look for excuses of why I did bad. I like to look for excuses why I should do better. And this is just part of my chapter that I'm going to always remember.
Peter, now dressed, leaves the arena with his team. Elsewhere, a front license plate reads, "Hello, my name is Awesome." Cam sits behind the wheel, Kansas City, Kansas.
When I lose a fight, it bothers me more than anything else in the world bothers me. Just really like winning.
I mean, you can't win everything, though. You know?
You can't win anything is... I feel like that's a cop-out. Because if you can't win everything... Actually, technically, you can win everything. It's hard to win everything. And that's, you have to strive for perfection, and perfection is almost impossible. But I think saying you can't win everything is just a cop-out for losing sometimes.
Cam shuts his car trunk and heads into a small, crusty gym. He performs jump squats, then dumbbell rolls.
Yep, don't give up. No. Five more, match it up. Five. Come on.
After losing the National Golden Gloves Championship at Super Heavyweight, Cam F. Awesome made a decision to lose 20 pounds and try to qualify for the Olympic trials at the next weight class down.
Moving down in weight, I get to fight guys my own size and I feel so much better.
Yeah, he's 20 pounds lighter. He's in better condition. You know, he doesn't have a belly like I do. He hasn't really looked like a top flight athlete. Now he does.
Colorado Springs, Colorado, U.S. Olympic Trials qualifier. Cam defeats an opponent, wins 322, losses 27.
In winning this tournament in Colorado Springs, Cam F. Awesome becomes the only American to qualify for the Olympic Trials in two different weight classes.
I'm smarter, I'm more mature, I'm more disciplined. I've got my mind right, I've got my body right. I'm emotionally there. I'm a lot more secure now than I used to be. And I'm confident in myself and my abilities to bring home a medal.
Elsewhere, the Manhattan skyline rises high on a sunny day. Little B-Hop rides in the backseat of a taxi.
My heart cold because I grew up without my father, but it really made me smarter. It made me grind harder. I've made my dreams a reality. My own family thought they was gonna have to bury me. Took my mama 9 months just for her to carry me, so I was brought to this world to live like your majesty, nigga.
Alex Kafka really is like the best gym. A lot of us is at the top of the sport, like in the amateur wise or like making our way up in the pros. Me and Sosa, we rising superstars. It's great. And look at me now. Now I'm a Mexican, black Mexican.
Little B-Hop dons a huge sombrero backstage.
And we're like a family. He wants to be part of that. And he tells me, you know, I'm going to wear the Mexican hat. I'm going to wear the poncho. Yeah, you could say he's a black Mexican. Negro video.
The black bean. B-Hop enters the ring for his second fight wearing the sombrero and bandana. He tags his opponent with a pair of jabs to the face. He follows with a dodge and left jab, then a pair of heavy uppercuts to the gut, and a third to the face. The referee steps in between the two boxers, stopping the fight on a TKO. Wins 2, losses 0. The next opponent tries to cover up, but receives a beating from Little B-Hop. Wins 3, losses 0. Wins 4, losses 0.
The potential's there, and if he continues to listen and train hard and all that, he will be a champion. It could be a great champion, too. One of the elite ones.
Russo passes B-Hop.
How'd you get there?
To the cab.
Waste of money.
Because that take too long. He talk too much, bro.
I got to just make sure he realizes that it's a business, that it's how you're going to feed your family, and it's how you got to handle your money. It's like a business.
Why you need $200?
I need it.
For?
I got to get something.
They sit together.
What, to put in?
Nah, I got to get some sneakers for somebody.
I'll get the hell out of here.
Nah, not for me. I have to buy these sneakers, though. But
I ain't giving it to you.
They're like $50, though. But
Russo leaves through some bills.
But you needed it for the ID?
Yeah, the ID, too. The ID is not that much. The most is going to be like $50 for the cab in
you 100.
ID. What?
I'm only giving you $100, then.
Nah. $200.
Russo forks it over.
Because then the extra $50 is going to last me for the week.
Still eating right?
It's 1,000, right? That's 1,000 left.
Mm-hmm.
1,500.
Nobody makes money overnight. It's nobody has done it, made money. It takes years to build up a record and get well known and stay out of trouble.
B-Hop's boxing gloves dangle from his backpack. He's at the airport with a companion. They board an airplane.
You could say in boxing, to be the best, you've got to get beat up by the best. So after 4 wins and little prize money, Little B-Hop drops out of high school and heads down to Florida, taking a job as a sparring partner for the bantamweight champion of the world, Carlos Payano, who's preparing to defend his title.
Fort Lauderdale Beach.
B-Hop relaxes on the beach with his friends. Later, they race go-karts. Next, B-Hop hits the arcade and plays a motorcycle racing game. He tries his hand at a punching game, then goes to a shooting range. He poses with 2 pistols baring his teeth. Later, he eats burgers and fries from a fast food joint. Finally, he reclines in bed.
Well, you took the day off today and chill.
So what? I'm not fighting. I just keep my head in the spa and chill. I didn't come here to work out. This is not my camp. I'm not with these people. My coach not here.
So you're not really taking it seriously?
No. Sparring. That's it.
Right.
In the morning, B-Hop sits in the kitchen with his friends.
You believe in vacation?
Nah.
Shut the hell up. This ain't vacation, boy. You a sparring partner right now. This ain't no vacation.
I'm sparring, right? That shit not important. That shit don't care. I'm good for about this, nigga.
Yeah, right.
I could be on vacation and still go sparring. I'll go on vacation, a real vacation, and still go to the gym. If I find a gym, I'm headed.
This man don't believe in this shit, boy.
He enters a boxing gym. Herman Quesada, boxing trainer.
Chris, you know, I mean, he can do everything wrong right now and still probably fight and do well in 4-round fights. But you get the 6, 8, 10, and 12-round fights, it don't matter how old you are, it catches up to you. Your body's putting out what you put into it. So if you got Snickers and McDonald's, that's what's coming out. There's no room in this business for half-assing.
Juan Carlos Payano, bantamweight champion of the world, 2004 and 2008 Olympian.
What'd you say? I'm the motherfucking world champion. Right. That's me.
B-Hop and Payano spar together in the ring. Both men wear headgear. B-Hop ducks a shot and fires a right hook into Peano's gut. He fires a retreating right jab as Peano presses him. Peano gets him on the ropes and clinches. Soon, Peano beats him up in the corner. Subtitles read, "In the end, I am responsible for my training to prepare physically and mentally for my fight. You need to sacrifice yourself and have the desire to be a champion." Peano works B-Hop over, pushing the pace. B-Hop tries to clinch, but Peano keeps his feet moving and pops him with combinations. Little B-Hop flails sluggishly in the corner, then leans against the ropes. They stop.
As you saw in little glimpses of it, my champ runs guys out of the ring. If I just used Chris for traditional 6 or 8 straight rounds, he probably right now wouldn't get it. He'd get hurt or he'd just, you know, get demoralized.
Every time for this fight, every time, walk.
Herman opens a door to a tiny room.
This is where the champ lives. This is the champ, and he has to clean the bathroom twice a week, you know, and that's his job, and there's no getting around that, you know, and he's got photos of his family, and, you know, this is, and he's a world champ, and he's making a, you know, he's making a decent penny on his next fight, and he's not moving out.
Peano continues training on the floor.
You wouldn't come move in there.
Hell no.
Of course. That's the mentality. That's our generation today. They feel like they're entitled. Dude, I tell my guys in a minute, I tell my champion, stay humble. And if you don't have people around you that tell you these things and tell you you're not shit, can you buy me a house, a car, and a freaking, you know, an island? Can you do that? Can't do that, right?
Little B-Hop sweats on the ring apron.
I struggled a lot. He got the little best of me. I didn't think he had that much skills. But that's what happened when you play around and you take shit for a joke and granted, you feel me? I just realized that when you make your way up, you gotta start stepping it up. Like, one round at a time, one day at a time, one step at a time. I'm not at the world championship level yet, but I know I can hang with a lot of world champions. To be honest, I don't know the best of me. But, you know, like, it takes me. I could bring the best out of me.
Several young men shadow box in the ring.
It's a certain mentality that it takes to be a great fighter. And it's there. It's there in all of us. We all possess that thing. But what separates us is there are people who can activate it and become champion.
Reno, Nevada, 238 days before the 2016 Olympics. Crew set up an arena before a large banner reading U.S. Olympic Team Trials Boxing.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Silver Legacy Hotel, Resort, and Casino. This afternoon, 28 men will continue their quest for the Olympic dream.
After a year of Olympic trials qualifiers, the top American Olympic boxing hopefuls are here in Reno to compete to make the U.S. team. The group includes Darmani Rock, Philadelphia's super heavyweight who beat Cam F. Awesome in the National Golden Gloves Championship. But tonight, it only takes one punch to end Darmani's Olympic dreams.
Rock is knocked out in the ring, then checked by a doctor afterwards.
Can't fight.
Rock walks away shirtless, his hand on his hip. He drops his head to his chest. Meanwhile, Cam smiles, posing for an official photograph. His eyebrow bears a bandage.
This silly rule without boxing with headgear. People get hurt. Cam got cut a little bit last night, but we got it fixed up. So, but he's got to worry about that a little bit. He's got to protect it. So that just adds another dimension to it.
Cam sits with a woman on a couch.
Conversation with your freaking drawn-on eyebrow. So ridiculous.
Now John applies cream to Cam's face.
At his new 201-pound weight class, Cam F. Awesome, he looks awesome. But with a cut over his eye and 3 fights left, he'll have to proceed with caution or risk medical disqualification.
Cam enters the ring in all red, facing an opponent in all blue. He hops around the ring. As the round begins, Cam skips forward from his corner and throws a left hook. He lands a combination on the opponent who tries to cover up. Wins 325, losses 28. The referee raises Cam's arm. Now Cam wears blue. He steps over the top ring rope one leg at a time. Against his next opponent, he fires retreating left hooks as the man in red tries to find an opening. Cam throws a right hook, ducks a shot, and flips position.
You're a fucking magician. Your eye is perfect. Your eye is perfect. I have never been so impressed in my fucking life.
Your winner by split decision. Boxing out of the blue corner, Cam Awesome.
Wins 327, losses 28.
Watching Cam in his skill set,
and get to this level is incredible. He's invested so much into this. If he wins, it was all worth it.
Cam rides an escalator down.
Waited too long to fuck this up. It's a great honor to be able to go to the Olympics and represent a country and all that. I have to win. I'd be way too disappointed chasing this for 12 fucking years.
Cam walks down the Reno Strip and meets an elderly couple.
Oh, you're not who I thought you were.
Nope. Doesn't mean you're not a quality person, though.
Oh, thank you. If you're up, best of luck.
Thank you, thank you.
What weight class are you in?
Heavyweight. You guys coming to the fights?
Oh, hell yes.
Are you all awesome week? Are you a 201 or a plus?
201. I used to be 201 plus.
Oh, wow.
What'd you do, go with a damn diet?
Yeah, I actually did. I'm a vegan, and I started working out and running and working out and running and more working out.
Vegan?
Yeah.
Good luck to you.
Thank you, thank you.
I'm a protein guy.
Yeah. Where are you guys from?
Here.
Here?
Yeah.
You guys know anybody fighting?
We do now.
So I'm your favorite fighter here?
Pablo, but he lost.
It was Pablo.
Well, I'm your favorite fighter left in the tournament.
But you're my favorite fighter left in the tournament.
I'll take that.
Okay.
I'll take that. I'll take that 10 times out of 10. What are your names?
Nancy and Jim. What's your name?
Nice to meet you. I'm Cam.
Oh, I know you, Cam? I watched you, yes.
I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Is your last name really? No, it isn't. I did change it,
but I took the legal procedures. And it's on my passport, credit cards, my license. Because why not, right?
Why not?
Championship night, 2016 U.S. Olympic trials.
Cam F. Awesome might not be the prettiest fighter to watch in the ring, but he knows how to land a punch without receiving a punch. And that's all that matters.
Boxing on the ring corner, beating arms from Odessa, Kansas, Cam F. Awesome.
Cam skips to the ring and the fight begins. Cam keeps his distance and tosses right hooks with his superior reach. The blue opponent can't get close enough. Cam's strikes are slow lobbing overhands, but the opponent has no time to formulate an offense of his own. His one attempt at a jab is easily sidestepped by Cam. Wins 329, losses 28. Cam is interviewed in the ring.
Tell the people what you did out there tonight. I dominated. Cam F. Awesome, everybody. Great performance. United States Olympian. Well deserved.
Cam receives a letterman's jacket.
Awesome has now qualified for the U.S. Olympic men's boxing team. But that's not saying he's an Olympian yet. He'll still have to go on to fight internationally to qualify for the games.
He autographs a tournament bracket.
I'm just emotionally exhausted at this point. But I'm happy the way everything turned out.
So was this all worth it?
It was definitely all worth it, but all today is just basically me getting back to where I left off.
Box and bracket in hand and jacket on his back, Cam pushes the front door to the convention center open and walks onto the Reno Strip. He strolls into the night. Meanwhile, in New York, the new World Trade Center looms high overhead. A sign outside a bar reads, "Life will fix what needs to be fixed and breaks what needs to be broken." Peter trains with heavy medicine balls, spinning and hoisting it off the ground, then chucking it away with a chest pass.
Ready?
A trainer drops the ball and Peter returns to his starting position. He spins, hops, squats, lifts the ball and fires it. In another exercise, Peter picks up one ball after another and hurls them forward one at a time. He sweats and performs agility drills with a rope ladder that lies flat on the ground.
The Andy Lee fight was a great test, and not being biased, but I thought he won that fight. Nonetheless, it is what it is, and we're moving on. We're looking for the next one.
Peter works on a speed bag. A robe bearing his nickname, Kid Chocolate, hangs on the wall.
I'm in the gym, working hard just to make sure I secure what a win could look like for me. If I'm gonna die, what I'm doing, it's gonna be me dying, trying to win.
Later, he sits in a locker room.
You can't just be good at something. You can't just go up in there and make music and think it's good enough.
you have to always go the extra length to want it. Like, I was willing to sleep on fucking the mattress I found in the trash to make my success work for me. You know what I'm saying? Wasn't about girls, wasn't about nothing else in life. You know what I'm saying? So in life, you have to figure out what you motivate off of.
Your situation.
Yeah, you realize where you at in your situation and how you gonna get up out of it. Cause you notice that you are being a pool full of crabs, and you don't know why you keep being pulled in. Is because you have no plan to get out. You know what I'm saying? And then eventually you be like 35. You be like, what happened? I mean, like, you was so much in the fucking moment all the time that you sometimes motherfuckers don't ever come out that moment.
Now, a shirtless Peter flexes in the ring for a pool of photographers. Floyd Mayweather, 49 wins and 0 losses, is on the screen. He swivels, bares his teeth, and flexes again.
The latest fight in Kid Chocolate's return gives him another chance to regain a middleweight championship belt. Though this time, it's the WBA title, held by Brooklyn fighter Danny the Miracle Man Jacobs.
Daniel Jacobs, WB middleweight champion.
This is a 50-50 fight. For Peter Quillen, he's taken a wicked beating from hardcore fight fans. If he wins and looks good, all is forgiven.
So, and when Peter get in the ring, he gonna do the thing. Kid Chocolate, hey, Kid Chocolate. Peter is his name, boxing is his game. He hit him with the right, then he knocked him out the ring. Hey, Kid Chocolate, hey. Yes, peace, and I'm out.
In Brooklyn on the night of the fight, Peter waits backstage. He is handed a cell phone and touches his chest. Text appears, Floyd Mayweather, 49 wins and 0 losses.
Floyd.
What's up, champ?
Man, I'm good, I'm blessed, man. I thank you, because I'm here right now.
You undefeated for a reason. So the obvious, you've been doing something right thus far. So, you know, go out there and just be at your best.
Thank you, Floyd, man. Appreciate it. Good looking. Man, B, thank you for that, man.
Okay, I can watch.
All right.
Peter grins at Eric.
Showtime.
Ugly motherfucker.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, son, that's real right there, kid.
He gears up. Peter wears his gloves and robe and awaits the call to the ring. His expression is stone. Now, in the ring.
Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome you to Barclay Center here in Brooklyn, New York, for the much anticipated feature bout of the
Little B-Hop watches from ringside. The fight begins. Peter and Jacobs approach each other. Jacobs fires first with a right jab. He lands a combination on Peter that sends Kid Chocolate staggering backwards to the corner. Jacobs works him over in the corner ferociously, landing brutal overhand rights and lefts as Peter tries helplessly to cover up. Peter can't return fire. Jacobs is relentless. Peter finally pushes his way out of the corner and tries a pair of hooks, but Jacobs sends him right back to the corner. Jacobs loads and fires more deliberate shots into Peter's temple. Another blow connects and Peter stumbles sideways, his eyes glazed over. Peter's wide, glassy eyes point vaguely at his opponent. The referee watches Peter and steps in front of him, waving his arm.
Your whole life, your whole history, your whole career changes with one punch. You cannot play boxing.
Wins 31, losses 1, draw 1.
When you see your art and you see a painter and you see someone that's doing something of the sweet science, to hit, not get hit, to take away and disarm a guy and make him look, reduce him down from a killer to nobody, from a beast to nobody. How did you do that? In that square circle.
Post-fight, Peter walks forward as a cadre of cameras surround him and his team. He hugs a man backstage. Subtitles. This fight was meant to happen. No matter what I could have did wrong, what I could have did right, it was supposed to happen the way that it did. Yeah, it's all part of your story now. Walk out of here with a smile on your face.
Okay, I'd like you to listen to me 1 second.
Pappy massages Peter's back.
I believe that if a fighter goes in there and fights his heart out, and just leaves everything in the ring, he's gonna live to see another day. He's gonna live to see another fight. You know, people are gonna wanna see him again. regardless if you lose or win.
Subtitles, being undefeated, does it matter?
Does it matter?
It doesn't matter. It happened the way it happened.
At the press conference.
Somebody asked me, are you scared to get in the ring? I said, I'm not scared to fight. I'm not even scared to lay down. The only thing I'm scared of is to see how many people that's here for me right now in this moment after our loss disappeared. The only thing I can do is go back to the gym, reassess myself with my team, and, you know, try our best on the next go-round.
Peter paws into an SUV which backs away slowly. Elsewhere, Cam sweats while shadowboxing. Little B-Hop crosses himself before another professional fight.
2 years in the life of American boxing will teach you a lot about the sport's issues and problems. But mostly about its champions. Boxing's never been a perfect sport, and it never will be. But it is about people who can rise to the best of themselves when they put on the gloves.
2001 Brooklyn, New York, New York Golden Glove Semifinals.
Like my mom always said, it's not about how many times you've been knocked down. It's how fast you get up.
Bulger pops up from a knockdown.
Boxing's about kids like me, who wherever they're from, need something only the sport can provide. Whether it's direction, or discipline, or glory and fame and fortune. A champion is someone who, despite tremendous odds and a brutal, corrupt pursuit, proves that the impossible, what most of us might never dare, could actually happen. These dreams are still born every day in gyms like Atlas, Cops and Kids. And as long as there are kids who need to fight their way out of somewhere, that Squared Circle will be calling. The strategy remains the same in this, the most elemental of martial arts. Hit and don't be hit.
The referee raises Little Biop's arm in victory. Title cards read, Christopher Little B-Hop Colbert remains undefeated. 5 wins, 0 losses. He has fought twice in the last 12 months. After winning the U.S. Olympic trials, Cam F. Awesome traveled to Argentina to compete in the American Olympic qualifiers. He fell one victory short, once again ending his Olympic dreams. As of now, he has no plans to turn professional or quit boxing. Over the course of this film's production, Peter Kid Chocolate Quillen earned an estimated $3.25 million. Peter shows his baby a photo of himself in the ring.
Who's that? Who is that? That's
10 months after his first loss, Peter has yet to fight another opponent. The U.S. men's boxing team won a silver and bronze medal at the Rio Olympic Games. For the second straight Olympics, the U.S. women's boxing team brought back gold. Atlas Cops and Kids is currently fundraising to expand its program across the country. Directed, produced, and written by Jay Bulger. Executive producer Mike Tollin. Executive producer Adam Deldeo. Lisa Nishimura. Jason Springon-Koff. Co-executive producer John Weinbach. Producer Catlin Calloway. Co-producer Malcolm Schneider. So now I'm here praying, looking down, looking at this hell of a town. People walking on their feet, but none of them are touching ground. See, I'm that rose that grew from that concrete. I don't need a gun in order to know that I got heat. I don't need an amendment to know that I got free speech. I don't need the attention to know that I'm a MC. Cause I'm messing with made men. These men can say when a percent can ball like Jalen.
Yo, they're here.
Oh, shit. All right. But hold up, let me get it the second I'm in. These main men are hearing, so I better be going in. Then I run this shit, gonna stop my click. I turn around like you wish, cause I am the one, but it starts to run. Yeah, we up in this bitch, the Kings County representative. A man is not as bad as drinking expired milk. But please, will you hold it still as I build a bill with my ill skill? Fulfill the highlight reel and show them real. But they know the deal is to kill. Any rapper or blapper talking crap in the trap and overlap them and clap them. They know what happened, it's row. But when they see me, they turn a weenie
genies. A genie's wish can never finish. Bebo and the man that's in it. That's where the garden. I swear to God, I'm a ground with this rhyme. And don't waste time and get what's mine and make it to the finish line and live the life that I was promised to my people. Cause there's no sequel in this evil. Lead the world. Pang was shy, finito. But I swear I'ma live it right. Pick a mic and then I might slow to the beat cause I'm just reaching, reaching. A point of my life, a point to point to me to the real. And I'm dealing with dealers that dealing working, it's ill.
In memory of Michael King, copyright 2016 Netflix Studios LLC, all rights reserved.
You see the fakes? I paid attention when tension was getting hot. Still managed to put a rubber while boning all these thoughts.
Sosa's son raps on the ring apron while Sosa nods his head, sitting beside him.
I'm 18, going on 45, got a 9 to 5. Her name is rapping and I won't lie. I choose if it makes me the one. Just want to be remembered here when all this is gone. Made man.
Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix.